Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week? Olaslagers.
Nicola Olaslagers is the world indoor high jump champ. The Tillies put on an absolute clinic in Melbourne, and Hannah Green scored the second. Nope, that's wrong. She played the golf. Hannah Keane. That's interesting, isn't it?
That is.
Hannah Keane scored the second fastest goal in A-League women history, 14 seconds into the match.
That's a speedy goal.
That is. No attention span required. We are scoring now.
Right now. For the key story, we'll chat about the French Olympic Committee's confirmation that they will provide hotel rooms for breastfeeding athletes during the games. It's a cool development. I'm keen to jump into that one a little bit further. My name is Chloe Dalton, and I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez, Erin Morton. We're going full names. We're recording on Gadigal land. Let's take a look around the grounds. In athletics, Nicola Olaslagers left it very late to win the high jump gold at the World Indoor Athletics Championships in Scotland on the weekend. It was her first big win since her silver medal heroics at the Tokyo Olympics. Isn't that crazy? Because we see her quite often clearing these amazing heights at times consistently above 2 meters these days. Interesting that it's her first big win. She was her mercurial self, hyping up the crowd with her energy. She needed every drop of it to clear the 1.99 meters on her third and final attempt. She's hitting pretty peak form at just the right time. There's only 144 days, Bez, until the Olympics begins.
That's crazy. Do the math. Divide that by seven. Quick.
Oh, gosh.
20-something weeks. 20 weeks.
Great. Good maths.
That's not long.
Not long at all.
Very exciting.
And not to be left out of the accolades, Jessica Hull has improved her own Australian 3,000-metre record when finishing fourth in the final in Glasgow, less than 2 seconds outside the medal. She's getting closer, Jess
Hull. Come on, Jess. Come on, Jess. In golf, Hannah Green won the LPGA Tours. She didn't score in 14 seconds. She did win the LPGA Tours Women's World Championship in Singapore over the weekend. The Aussie shot an impressive 5 under 62nd in the third round. Do you know what they call the third round in golf, Chloe?
No.
It's actually a little bit, it's a bit similar to what they call the third quarter in AFL.
Premiership quarter.
The third round in golf is called moving day. So another, like up and down the leaderboard, it's like when the real changes happen.
I like that.
Yeah, moving day. So on moving day, she absolutely killed it. 5 under on moving day, charged into second place in the leaderboard, going into that fourth and final round. She came up clutch at the death on that last day, draining the final three holes. Birdies on the final three holes to finish at 13 under, just one shot ahead of Frances Céline Boutier.
In rugby union, Shani Williams, the icon, played her 50th tournament this weekend in Los Angeles to join Charlotte Kaslik, who racked up her 50th World Series event the weekend before in Vancouver. The two legends of the Sevens game played a massive role in getting the Aussies to the final in Los Angeles, where they're going to face New Zealand for the title. So that happens around midday on Monday, which is after our recording.
In about an hour and 20 minutes.
So we need to hurry up.
We will be watching.
We will
and
be.
And yelling loudly. In football, 10-0 is not often a score you see in football, but no. It was how the contest finished in Melbourne on Wednesday night after the Tillies put on a clinic in front of a sold-out crowd of 500,000. That's a big stadium. 54,120 nice. Fans. Uzbekistan had no answers to the Aussies at home, and Michelle Heyman was in everything, netting 4 goals before halftime.
It's a real fairy tale for Michelle Heyman at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then subbed off. Like, my work here is done.
And then she scored a ripper in the A-League on the weekend too. She's just in prime form.
A real ripper.
Yeah.
The match was a 12th consecutive sellout for the Matildas in Australia and secured their spot at the Paris Olympics. They now return to their clubs before a friendly in early April against Mexico that we played in San Antonio, USA.
In basketball, the Perth Lynx are the first team to secure a spot in the grand final in the WNBL after they defeated the Townsville Fire 108-102 in game two. It's a big scoreline, isn't it?
Mm. And is that Townsville's? They've won the last 2 years in a row, haven't they?
Townsville have been on fire the last couple of seasons.
Tish.
But, yeah, so Perth Lynx were strong early in the season and they've kind of redeemed themselves late to lock that grand final spot. They'll face the winner of the third and deciding game between the Melbourne Boomers and the Southside Flyers.
Go the Flyers.
And a quick Caitlin Clark update. Late last week, the Scoring Machine confirmed this will be her last season of college basketball. Crazy. There was a lot of speculation about what she was going to do.
So Indiana Fever have pick one. Mm. She will obviously go pick one.
Obviously.
I saw a quick little release today from someone I follow.
Great.
Basically, the ticket prices for the Fever's first game on StubHub have already like doubled.
No way.
Yeah. The Caitlin Clark effect. It is a real thing. She's a phenom.
That's pretty cool because I think in the past we've chatted about this idea of how does she decide with the NIL, the name, image and likeness. Her capacity to earn money in college is really huge, but you kind of hope that because she's got this Caitlin Clark effect that that can kind of carry over in terms of endorsements in the WNBA as well.
Yeah, I'm sure her partners are just like, you do what you want to do, we will still support you.
We will follow you wherever you go. I love that. She followed up the news by breaking another record, surpassing Pete Maravich's all-time college Division I point scoring record.
In a big win on Monday morning, actually, they knocked off number two Ohio State, so Iowa. They go March Madness starts really soon.
It's March. We're in March and I feel scared about it.
It's mad. Some rugby league news. It's an interesting one. It's a little niche. NRL is looking to make a splash in the USA and have held a combine featuring 25 male and 25 female athletes. A combine's a very American term, isn't it?
Well, yeah. When is it not combined, but it's a combine?
Yeah, because it's the only time you say it. AFL does a combine, don't they?
They do.
Interesting. It looks like the Canberra Raiders will be the first NRLW team to sign an American player. Liz Tafuna has Maori and Tongan heritage and has played for the USA in rugby union, I think in both sevens and 15s. So she's not foreign to the
Wait, so she played for the USA because I thought she'd also played for the Black Ferns for New Zealand.
She trialled. I think she had some time in the development seven
right.
squad.
Got ya.
She excelled at the combine, which included the following test. To help gauge a player's readiness for the NRL, and I think that we should probably rate ourselves on each test.
Okay.
We'll alternate. Med ball throw.
I think you win that one.
Oh, it's a competition. It's always a competition. I was just like going to do like a score out of 10.
Oh.
For you. Like self-rating here.
Six.
Standing broad jump, me, two.
I'm strong in that category.
You are. Bench press.
You're getting pretty good at bench press.
1.5. 20-meter sprint, 1.2K shutter arm. We're skipping those. You're elite in those ones. 101 tackle grid? Interesting one.
I think you'd be good at that.
How big's the grid?
Small.
Great.
1 meter squared.
8. Draw and pass?
Simple but effective.
Very good. Very, very key. You'd be a solid 9 in that.
Side on tackle.
Do you do a lot of side on tackling?
I feel like that's like running down the wing, are we picturing?
Yeah.
A bit.
And here's my favourite one, the bomb defusal. Are we defusing an actual bomb? And I want to know, Chloe, in the moment, defusing a bomb, red wire, blue wire.
Is someone yelling at me? Red
yes.
or blue, red or blue, red or blue. I'm going blue.
Good call.
In some more football news, I can't believe that was a sports story. I feel confused by that. Do we think the bomb defusal is like
catching a high ball?
Defusal, do they really call it defusal?
Oh, I've seen a few different articles that used a few different words, but it worked for the joke. So I left it as defusal.
Good. In more football news, Sydney FC won bragging rights on Saturday when they defeated their rivals, the Western Sydney Wanderers, 2-0. Mackenzie Hawksby converted a 67th minute penalty. An 18-year-old debutante, Kaylee Tallon-Hennicar, sealed the deal in stoppage time.
She also earned that penalty. She came on, earned the penalty, and scored the sealer.
Love
Great
that.
Great debut. Debut.
Western United held on to top spot on the ladder with a 4-2 win over Canberra United. Hannah Keane scored the second fastest goal in A-League women history when she found the back of the net just 14 seconds into the match. I watched this and it was so funny because the commentators were like running through like, and thank you to the referee of the game and assistant referee. We've got Caitlin so-and-so. And then Hannah scores this goal. They were not ready for it.
No, because you're just easing into it.
Yeah.
Here we are today at Canberra Stadium, you know, like giving it that one.
Beautiful weather. Looking forward to a great display of football.
And she scores.
Let's take a look.
It was a terrible audition to be commentators.
Terrible audition. Let's take a look at the key story. In a bit of Olympic Games news, the French Olympic Committee has confirmed they will provide hotel rooms for breastfeeding athletes during the Games. French judo star Clarisse Abenanou was a strong driver of the policy shift and called on the organisers to respect new mothers. There are very strict rules around the athletes' village, with only accredited competitors and coaches allowed to spend the night in the village. These additional spaces and rooms will be close to the village and can be utilised by the athletes to sleep with their infants or feed their children while their partner stays in the rooms. Just on that, they are pretty savage with accreditation, which makes sense. But for us, so when we travelled, we had a team of 12 that were competing in two shadow reserves. The shadow reserves of all sports are not allowed to stay in the village.
It's very cutthroat, isn't it?
It's very cutthroat.
I guess there's 10,000 people in that Olympic village.
It's a lot of people to cater for.
Yeah. But if you start carrying those extras, it becomes an even bigger village.
Yes. But it takes a village.
Oh, left that open and she walked straight through it. Astrid Guyart, General Secretary of the French Olympic Committee, said after the announcement, "We have sought to preserve a family cocoon, which is part of athletes' equilibrium and enables them to perform. Society is changing, and this meets one of the needs of our athletes."
I like the cocoon analogy. I do find it pretty crazy that it's the first time this has been a consideration.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's also been confirmed that the Games will be the first Olympics where women will be competing in equal numbers to men.
Love that.
While the move from the Paris organisers is a step, as we said, in the right direction, support and understanding of the needs of new mothers when competing as elite athletes is still pretty minimal.
Yeah.
We still speak so often about studies and, you know, research done on athletes that leave women athletes out of that research.
Yeah, for sure.
It's still so lacking.
It really is. And I think there's, like we said, it's 2024 and it's happening. It's not like there's only Olympians this year that are juggling breastfeeding and having babies. Like, it's been something that has impacted a number of athletes, and they've tried to get that juggle right between breastfeeding and competing. And there's a lot of them that probably haven't been able to manage that because there hasn't been the right resourcing in place. And I think it's just such an important thing that these like really practical implementations are made on a more permanent basis.
As an example, I was doing some reading, British archery athlete Naomi Folkard. So she was, her daughter was 5 months old when she went to Tokyo. She had basically spent the months leading into Tokyo expressing and freezing the milk so a partner could feed while she was not there or not allowed that contact. I guess Tokyo probably threw some even bigger hurdles in with COVID. But she actually said in an interview that she was, because she'd become so used to producing so much milk because she was expressing so much during competition, she was having to pump and dump every night.
Wow.
Because her body was still producing all of that milk. And like, these are just things that, you know, we need to understand as human beings, that's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Naomi had been able to go twice a day to a hotel and feed her child, you know, problem gone.
Which, it's a simple solution, isn't it?
Very simple.
But I think the cool thing about this story is that Astrid, the General Secretary of the French Olympic Committee, has talked about the fact that they're hoping it's a permanent fixture. It's not just something they're going to do for the Paris Olympics.
It has to be.
It's got to be. Let's take a look at what to watch.
Game 3 of that semi-final series between the Melbourne Boobers and Lauren Jackson, I mean the Southside Flyers, is this Wednesday. She's got to go out on top, doesn't she?
She has to.
If you're not on the Flyers bandwagon, just get on it.
Get on.
It's fun in
the
here.
The bus.
Warm. Nice.
We're friendly.
So that game 3, Wednesday, 7 o'clock AEDT at Melbourne Sports Centre. The winner of that deciding match will face the Perth Lynx on Sunday for game 1. That's, I think, 3:30 p.m. AEDT.
How good. Stop 3 of the World Surf League begins this week, and the new generation is set to take on the Barrels of Peniche in Portugal. The event waiting period begins on Thursday, and you can watch it live and free on the WSL app or on Foxtel.
And this Friday is IWD.
How good.
Or International Women's Day. You've got a lot on this week. What are you most looking forward to?
There's a lot going on. I've had a number of different briefing calls for different talks I'm doing. I'm speaking at the Northern Beaches International Women's Day breakfast. Just because it's my local, I'm pretty excited about that.
Looking forward to it.
It'll be great. That's the wrap.
That is the wrap. See you next week, friend.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.